We'll be taking some reading out of 1 Peter chapter number 1 this morning. I do ask you to be much in prayer as we get into the message today, that I'll preach exactly what God has laid on my heart. I got about four or five different ideas that I wanted to preach and that I've been thinking on for the past week or so, and then it just seemed like the whole thing changed in the last couple of days, and y'all just be much in prayer for me. And sometimes it's hard to know whether it's me or God. And I always want to be exactly where God wants me. I can get up here and get within myself and really make a mess really quick, and I don't ever want to do that. But I know that if I get up here and it, just because of my failures and my faults and my weaknesses, that I make a mess. If I'm where God wants me to be, that His Holy Spirit will make the message be what it should be. So y'all please pray for me this morning as we get into the message. Let's go to the Lord's word of prayer and ask Him for His help. Lord, we thank You and we praise You, God, for all that You do. And God, we do ask You just to help us as we try to stand here and preach this morning. And God, actually, I don't want You just to help. I want You to take control. And God, I pray that You'll help me, God, just to let all of my personal thoughts and opinions and everything else go. And God, help me to be exactly where You would have me to be. Let Your Holy Spirit take Your word and speak to our hearts, knowing that Your word will never return void. And God, I'm sure that as we get into the word, we'll find some help for some of us. We'll find conviction for some of us. But God, whatever it is that we need, God, I pray that You'll help us this morning, that we leave here in a closer condition with You than we were when we came in. Again, we ask You, if there's one that's lost, that You'll speak to their heart and they'll see their need for a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter number 1 is where we'll begin reading that this morning. I want to go ahead and share with you the thought that I had on my mind for the last few days, and that thought is kind of what led me to 1 Peter chapter number 1. And then as I began to read in 1 Peter chapter number 1, seemed like the thought process for the message this morning kind of changed. But all week I've been kind of thinking about on the thought of how many times do you hear people say, I'm just a worthless old sinner. You ever heard anybody say that? Or maybe you've said it yourself. I know I've said it for myself before. That I'm just a worthless old sinner. And when we look at the way that we live sometimes and the way that sometimes sin enters our life, and especially before we were saved, we may consider ourselves just worthless old sinners. But I want you to know this morning, as we were looking into God's word and we were thinking about the way that God loved us so much that He came for worthless old sinners, that I want you to know that God don't see you as worthless this morning, that God doesn't see you as just a worthless old sinner. Yes, I'm still a sinner saved by the grace of God, but I was looking for 1 Peter chapter number 1, and I think it's verses number 18 and verses 19 when I began to have my thought process this week about the message for this morning. I want to share verses 18 and verses 19 with you this morning. I had told them in the digital media office upstairs that we were going to do this last, but we're going to go first. See, it's just fluid right now. Well, I don't know. We'll just try our best to mind the Lord. But when I began to think on the thought, I'm just a worthless old sinner, but I want you to see what God's word says about what we may consider worthless old sinners. You tell me if this sounds, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Now look, if we want to look at this scripture this morning and the way that it's written, here 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 18, we're really seeing that some of the things that we count as not worthless, that we count as great gain, the Bible is talking here that it's just old corruptible things. It's things that's going to go away. The things that we hold high regard for as silver and gold. He says, look, you're not redeemed with corruptible things, those things that can go away, those things that one day are going to be burned up with a fervent heat. He says, you're not redeemed with those kinds of things. He says, but in verse number 19, he said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now you tell me this morning, would God the Father allow His Son, Jesus Christ, to come and give His life on a cross and go through the pain and the suffering that He went through on the cross, and the shame that He carried to the cross? Do you think God would do that for someone that He thought was worthless? Absolutely not. He allowed His only Son to come and give His life and be punished there on that cross, and to carry my sin and your sin to that cross, not because we're worthless, because He desired a relationship with you and I. I'm so thankful that God didn't see me as worthless. I'm not just a worthless old sinner in His sight, but I'm someone that He wants a relationship with. I'm someone that He wants eternity to spend with. I'm thankful that I'm redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That was the message that I wanted to preach, but I'm not going to preach that message this morning. I'm going to let that one go. 1 Peter chapter number 1, as I began to study in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and began to look at that thought process, some other things here began to jump out at me as I was reading. First of all, I want you to notice verse number 1. The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, there's people who will disagree that Peter wrote this. I don't know how you disagree. If you believe the word of God, I don't know how you disagree that Peter wrote this. It pretty well says it right there in verse number 1. I want you to notice who he's writing to. He says, I'm writing to the strangers. And this is not people that Peter doesn't know, but he's saying, I want to write to the strangers here in these places, the sojourners, the people who are just passing through, just as we're supposed to realize that we're just passing through this world. This world is not our home. I know we hold it in high regard, that we take too much claim here in this world. But Christian people, you need to understand, and I need to understand, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And he says, I'm writing here to the strangers. I'm writing to the sojourners, to the pilgrims, the outsiders, the unpopular, and maybe even the persecuted, because here at this time in the scripture, there's a lot of persecution going on for Christian people. And he says, I'm writing this to you. Verse number 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, once again showing you that you're not worthless. You are elect. And I know in the Bible, a lot of times when it's talking about the elect, it's talking about the children of Israel, because they are God's chosen people. But I want you to know that God chose us, that God chose to send his son to die on a cross for us, that God chose you. Look, it says elect according to the foreknowledge of God, that before you were ever even thought of here on this earth, that God thought about you, and the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. Here in verse 3, there's about 10 different messages that we could preach right out of verse number 3. First of all, let's look at what it's saying. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. Aren't you thankful for the abundant mercy that God gave us? That abundant mercy is favor that I didn't deserve. That God looked at me and he had favor on my life. That God had favor for me because of his abundant mercy. That mercy that endureth forever. The abundant mercy of God. If I got what I deserve this morning, I wouldn't be standing here in the pulpit. I wouldn't be a child of God. I wouldn't be a good person. If I got exactly what I deserve this morning, I would already be in hell, because I am a sinner. I fall short, and I come short of the glory of God. And if I got what I deserve this morning, I wouldn't be here talking about the goodness of God with you. I would be in hell this morning. But because of the abundant mercy and the love of God and the forgiveness of God, I'm standing here this morning bragging about being a child of God, bragging about being a Christian, being proud to know that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and knowing that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of the abundant mercy that God had for me in my life. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, that unmerited favor, that undeserving favor, hath begotten us again. Do you understand what that's saying there? That allowed you a second birth, that hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. When I read that, begotten us again, I couldn't help but think about he allowed me to be born again. Do you remember over in John chapter number 3, there was a guy that come to Jesus by night. His name was Nicodemus. And Nicodemus had seen miracles that Jesus done. And as Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, and he was a really religious guy, he was way up in the religious totem pole, if you will. But he comes to Jesus and he says, look, for you to be able to do those things, you have to be somebody that has God with him. And Jesus looked at him and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I am so thankful for the opportunity, because of Jesus Christ, that I have an opportunity to be born again. See, I was born the first time, and I'm so thankful for my physical birth that God allowed. On September the 9th, 1981, I was born here on this earth. I was born to good parents that loved me and provided for me and clothed me and took care of me. I was born in a family that we had somewhere to live and somewhere we were able to go and play and do the things that we've done. I'm really thankful for the wonderful things that God allowed me to be born into here. But I'm more thankful that at the age of 7, laying there in my bed that night, that God spoke to my heart and he offered me the opportunity to be born again. And because of that night, because I got down on my knees and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart and my life, I have been born again. Now I meet the criteria that Jesus told Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, you know what? That except don't even go into my life anymore. I know that I have been born again and I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that ability and that opportunity that I have been born again. So thankful for my physical birth here. But you know what? Didn't matter who my parents were. My dad was a preacher when I was born. My dad went to church every Sunday. My mom did. I know I've told you this before, but I've been in church for 9 months before I was alive. Every Sunday we were in church. My dad pastored churches. But it doesn't matter what kind of relationship that my parents had with God. It doesn't matter how good of people that my parents were, that they provided for us, that we had enough to eat. All of that doesn't matter. My first birth, see, you know, the night at age of 7, and I know this is hard for us to comprehend. Because you look at a little 7-year-old boy and you say, well, that little 7-year-old boy hasn't done much wrong. That little 7-year-old boy, he hasn't been out here and done all of the awful things that we think of. But I want you to know something. That night, when I realized that I was a sinner, that night that I realized that my nature, my first birth, provided me with a corruptible nature, with a sin nature. And it didn't matter how good my parents were, I still had that sin nature. And that night at the age of 7, when I realized that, when I knew that I had a corruptible... Now, I couldn't have told you that at the age of 7. The only thing I could tell you is that if I didn't get saved, I was going to live with the monster of the devil in hell. That's what I knew at the age of 7. But when I realized that and I knew that I needed to be born again, it was as simple as going and saying, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me the things that I've done wrong. And God came into my heart and he washed that sin away. And I have been a child of God ever since. My first birth was to wonderful people, but my second birth was to an almighty God that loved me before the foundations of the world, that had a plan for me before the foundations of the world, that God loved me so much that he offered me that opportunity to be born again. And if you've never been born again, I want you to know something, that you cannot see the kingdom of heaven without being born again. That's the word. That's not my word. My parents were wonderful people. They taught me about Jesus. They done all of these wonderful things. But that night that I realized that I was a sinner, we don't like this, but my father was the devil. Oh, preacher, now you making that just a little too serious. Your father wasn't the devil. Go and read God's word and see what God's word says about it. Go and see what God's word says. When I realized that I hadn't been reborn into the family of God, but you know what? The night when I hit my knees and I asked Jesus Christ into my life, I am now, just like I said a moment ago, a child of God. I know who my Father is. Verse number 3 again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten. His mercy allowed me the opportunity to be reborn. I want to say this in passing. I seen something the other day that I thought was really good. It said something about the United States of America having a birthday of 1776. Well, it's time for the USA to be born again. I can just tell you that right now. Our nation needs prayer. I would love to see our nation turn to God. He has blessed us with so much. That was free. I'll go on. His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope. And that lively hope is not the hope, like, I hope one day to do this, or I hope one day, but it is an extreme confidence, a confident expectation that I have because of God's word. And because God has kept every promise that he's ever given me, because God's always kept every bit of his word, I have a confident expectation that when I leave this world, when this physical body stops, and my spirit and my soul leaves here for eternity, I have a confident expectation to be in the presence of God. It's not a hope like, well, I hope it happens. It is a confident expectation because God has always been true to his word. Verse number 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Aren't you glad that you have a place, that things that God has put aside for you, that God has prepared for you, that nobody or nothing can take it away? Verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. How many of you in here could keep yourself? Yeah, me either. You know, since January 1st, I'm trying to lose a weight, a lot of weight. And when I look at it, I can't keep myself from going to the refrigerator and getting a Dr. Pepper from time to time, getting a big old bacon cheeseburger from time to time, about every day if you just want to know the truth to it. I'm not doing so good with something that I have committed to. Oh, I'm going to lose some weight. Last night, Autumn and I went out to eat, and she said, what are you going to get? I said, I'm just going to get me a salad and some water, and I did. And then we split a big old plate full of nachos and cheese and chili and all that. But I don't have to tell all that, right? What I'm saying is the things that my willpower sometimes, or my power to be able to keep me from doing stuff, ain't too good. But I want you to know that I'm not keeping myself in my salvation. He said, you are kept by the power of God. And if you go back and you read over in the book of John, I think it's chapter number 10, where he says, I've got you in my hand and nobody can pluck you out of my hand. I'm thankful that God is keeping me, and it's not up to myself to keep myself in salvation. Let's continue reading. Verse number 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Listen. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, wait a minute, God. We want to talk about this inheritance. We want to talk about this abundant mercy. We want to talk about our Heavenly Father that knowed us before the foundations of the world. According to the foreknowledge of God, we are the elect. Hallelujah. Let's stand and praise. That's wonderful. Let's do praise because of that. But then when we get over here in verse number 6, and he goes, but now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, there were some people that would tell you that if you're experiencing hardship, and if you're experiencing trials and burdens, you must be out of the will of God, because that's not God's will for your life. Well, I strongly disagree with that. You may be in that temptation. You may be in that trial. God will not tempt you, but you may be in that trial in order for your faith to be strengthened. He said it for a season. Look, verse number 6 again. Wherefore, and greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness. I know that's not hallelujah, but that's truth. In heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth. That trial that you've been through, that burden that you're carrying, and that you know that God is helping you carry, and that God has given you peace about from time to time until you pick it back up, and that God is helping you and giving you the strength with. He says, consider that precious. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it, church? I mean, I think it's pretty precious that he allowed me the opportunity to be reborn. I think it's pretty precious that I'm a child of God. But to consider that heaviness precious, 1 Peter says, you should consider it more precious than gold that perisheth through, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You may carry that burden, look, the Bible says, until the appearing of Jesus Christ. You may have that heaviness, but he says that you will be found with praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The topic I want to talk to you for just a few minutes is just hold on, church. Home is just around the bend. It's just around the bend. When I was a youngster, when I was about 15, 16 years old, I loved to ride horses. And we rode with a guy, and his name was Arliss McCraw. He was a preacher from up towards Ararat, Virginia. And we would go out on these long horse rides, and man, your back end be getting sore, your back's getting tired. That was to put it as nicely as I knew how to put it right there. You was hurting all over. Now, at that time, I could ride for a while, but we would go on rides that were 9, 10, 11 hours long. And you'd be going, how much further? He took you back in that mountain. You had no idea where you were at. And you'd be calling up there, hey, Arliss, how much further? How much longer have we got to ride, Arliss? Hey, it's just around the bend. it's just around, well, I don't know how many bends he was talking about, but it was never just around the bend. But I want to tell you something this morning, church, that I believe that home for us is just around the bend. I believe that it's in sight. I believe that those eastern skies could split at any moment and the church could be caught up out of here and we would be together with God, that we would be there in heaven and we would reach that destination that we've all been searching for. And whether you've been searching for it or not, I want you to know that your soul, it belongs unto God, and it is searching and it is seeking for the opportunity to be back with God. I believe that home is just around the bend. And even though you may be in heaviness, even though there may be burdens, or you may say, no, preacher, everything is just wonderful in my life right now. Well, just hold on, because there's probably some heaviness and some burdens coming. But I want you to know that no matter what, that home is just around the bend. And he said, all of those trials, you may be found with praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm looking for the day when there is no more phone calls that, hey, daddy's in the hospital. I'm looking for the day when there's no more phone calls, there's been a terrible accident, and we need you to come if you can. I'm looking for the day that there's never another phone call that says, will you please pray for my children? They're out here running around and doing things they shouldn't do. I'm afraid they're not going to live. I'm looking for the day when I don't get any more phone calls that says, hey, me and my family, the devil is trying to bust us up, and I need your prayers. One day, church, home is just around the bend, and the old devil, he's going to be done away with. The Bible tells us that he's going to be bound hand and foot and cast into the bottomless pit. And the one that is causing all of this havoc in our life, we're finally going to be done with that, and we're going to be in the presence of a holy and a righteous God, and we will praise him. We will give him honor. We will give him glory. I'll get past my little fellowship clap one day, and I believe that I will raise my hands and praise God and give him the honor and the glory that he deserves. I'm looking for that day. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know. Sometimes it seems so heavy. I can't help but think of a song that I heard at a funeral one time. The first time that I remember hearing the song was at a funeral, and it was the funeral of my wife's grandpa. And I can't remember exactly how old we were. She could tell you right off the top of her head, but I can't. Autumn's grandpa was a man that in his young days, he lived a rough life, lived a tough life. And as an adult, he came to know Jesus Christ. As an adult, he come and he met Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and just immediately his whole life changed. Immediately, everything about him changed just like that. I ain't going to get into the story because it's not my responsibility to tell those details. But just like that, a rough life changed because a man come to know Jesus Christ. Some time later, he become a preacher, began to carry the gospel. Some time later, he become a pastor. Pastored a church for several years. Well, as he got older, horrific things happened in his life. Some of you have experienced it. Some of you have seen it in your family. But he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And by the time that I met him, his name was Junior Johnson. By the time I met Junior, we went to the nursing home one day, and Autumn said, I want you to go with me, and I want you to meet my grandpa. And I said, okay. We walked into the Alzheimer's unit down here at the nursing home, and we went in, and I hope I'm not getting myself in trouble here because this is family stuff. But we went in, and he looked at me, and he said, hey, what are you doing? He talked to me just a little bit. I don't think he even knew who Autumn was that day, best I remember. And she was going, Papa, do you know who this is? And we knew he didn't because he had never met me. He said, yeah, that's the old Yahoo I met that time over there. Well, he had it about right with old Yahoo. But we watched him suffer with Alzheimer's. And we watched him little by little forget who everyone was. Autumn's little brother can play the piano like nobody's business. And he would go over there and he would get on that piano. And he would begin to play Amazing Grace. Now, Junior didn't know who we were. Couldn't tell you anything about him. But when Josh got to play in Amazing Grace, the tears would just roll down his cheeks. There was something on the inside that recognized, that resonated with that Amazing Grace. You say, well, preacher, that's not fair. A man that carried the gospel, a man that led people to Jesus Christ, a man that helped a church come together and be a family, and led them and helped follow God's leadership for a church, he had to experience that kind of heaviness and that kind of trouble
and that kind of burden in his life, and his family had to experience that. Why? That's not fair. Well, you know, we don't know what God's thoughts are, and we don't know what God's ways are, and it seems so unfair. And there was times that I would even question, God, why don't you just take him home? I know that he's ready to go. I know that he's ready to step out into eternity. God, won't you just take him home and not allow him to suffer anymore here on this earth? And whatever God's reasoning was, I don't know. I may know one day in glory, but here's the thing that I got to tell you, church. We have to trust God's will, whether we understand it or not. And that's tough, isn't it? That's tough when you don't know what's going on and you don't know why God won't do something. Sometimes it's hard to trust him, but we have to just say, God, I'm going to trust you. Have your will and help me to trust you. But I can remember getting a phone call. Autumn was actually supposed, she was babysitting for some people, and she was actually supposed to go to Aruba with them and babysit their kids while they were in Aruba. But the night before she left, we got a phone call that her grandfather had passed away. She didn't get to go, and we went down to the nursing home, and we sat there for just a few minutes, and they were all telling stories, and you know how it happens when someone passes. We had some family time. We went to the funeral there at Pine Ridge Church. I had never heard the song before. Never in my life. We were sitting there, and there were some ladies that began to sing, and now Autumn sings this song from time to time. I didn't put it on her this morning because I wanted to live this afternoon. But there was a song that they sung that still, I can hear it. I can almost see exactly where I was sitting, because when those troubles and those trials come, when those burdens come and we don't understand what God's doing, some of you've been there. Some of you've lost loved ones and you say, God, I don't know why you took my loved one from me. Some of you've experienced some accidents in your life and you say, God, I don't know why we had to go through that. Some of you have lost children and you say, God, that's not right. God, I don't understand why I had to walk through this. And I agree completely. My heart goes out to you and I agree completely with you. But again, my ways are not God's ways and my thoughts are not God's thoughts. I will pray for you and you pray for me that we'll always trust God in all of his decisions. But as we were sitting there that day, and I was thinking about the months that I had known Junior, that he had sat there and watched his mind go away. Sat there and watched his memory go away. The thought of knowing his family and all those things, it just went away. And I didn't understand it, but when they started singing this song, it made me realize that, yeah, the heaviness here sometimes is so heavy, but at the appearing of Jesus Christ, I want you to listen to just the chorus of this song. When I've crossed that river, it will be worth it all to me. The trials, the tribulations, all of the things that we go through, the things here on this earth that we go through and we don't understand, the burdens, the heaviness, and we don't understand it. But I want to tell you, church, when it finally happens and we finally cross the river, everything that we've been through here, everything that we've experienced is going to be worth it. Hang in there. Home is just around the bend. When I've crossed that river, it was worth it all to me. All the beauties of heaven before my eyes I could see. There stands Jesus, and there's mom and dad. They've been waiting for me. When I've crossed that river, it was worth it all to me. Church, I know sometimes it gets hard, it gets heavy, it gets to where the burdens, you say, I don't know if it's worth it. Maybe if I would try a different lifestyle, maybe if I would try something else, it would be easier than this. But no matter what you're going through, when our faith finally ends in sight, when we are finally in the presence of God, when we are finally there with Jesus Christ, I want you to know that it's all going to be worth it. Yeah, it was terrible that he had to go through the Alzheimer's. It was terrible that he had to go through that. But I want you to know that when he crossed that river and he was in the presence of an Almighty God, and he was there where he could worship Jesus Christ. I want you to know that it was worth it to old Junior. It was worth it to him that he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And no matter what you're going through this morning, live your life for Jesus Christ. Make a choice for Jesus Christ. And everything that you carry here on this earth, one day will be taken away. One day you'll be in the presence of an Almighty God, and it will be worth it. One day when your loved one that's already gone, that you didn't understand why God took them away. One day when your son or daughter that's already there in heaven and you finally get to see them again there with Jesus Christ. When your husband that left you here on this earth, when your wife that maybe left you here on this earth, when you're finally reunited there in the presence of an Almighty God, church, it's going to be worth it. It absolutely is going to be worth it. Whom having not seen you love, and whom thou know now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hannah, come on, please. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You know, it's going to be wonderful to be in the presence of our loved ones that's already went on. It's going to be wonderful to see all the things that God says that he has prepared for us. In my Father's house are many mansions, the streets of gold, the gates of pearl. All of that's going to be wonderful. Man, the Bible tells us that our minds can't even begin to comprehend the things that he has prepared for us. But you know what the most beautiful sight's going to be? Jesus Christ. The best thing about heaven is going to be Jesus Christ. Sometimes things here on this earth get hard. They get heavy, the burdens, the questions. Church, it's going to be worth it. When we finally cross that river the last time, when we finally step into eternity, when you stand before God and there's a book open and you know that you're not worthy to go to heaven, you know that even though you were saved, you didn't quit sinning. I hope you sin less, even though we're not sinless. Even though you've done things you weren't supposed to do, had thoughts that maybe you shouldn't have had, and you're standing there before God, and when God looks at that book, and because of the finished work of Calvary, your name's written in that book, and God looks and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in." Man, the best thing in the world, the best thing out of this world, is going to be to see Jesus Christ. Went through what he went through on the cross for you and I, so that all of these things here, all of these burdens, all these trials, all this heaviness, one day will be put aside when we're in the presence of Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Preacher, I know what you're talking about. This world gets heavy. Burdens sometimes get a little more than I can bear. Things have happened in my life that I've questioned God about. I'm doing my best not to doubt God, preacher, but things have happened that have caused me to question God. God, why did you do that? God, why did this have to happen? God, why didn't you do this? Preacher, I found myself in that place. Would you pray for me that I'll just remember the grace and the mercy of God, and I'll remember one day it's all going to be worth it. Preacher, I'm a little burdened. Would you just pray for me? Would you just lift up your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm a little burdened." There's hands all over the sanctuary. You're not by yourself. Preacher, I've got questions that I don't know if God's going to answer or not, but it's got me burdened, and I want you to pray for me. Hey, I'll tell you right now, church, y'all can't see me. My hand's raised. I need your prayer. Preacher, I'm here and I'm lost. I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Well, you know what? As good as it's going to be for us as Christians, it's going to be equally and opposite as bad for someone that don't know Jesus Christ. To stand before a holy God and for him to look at you and say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And know that you're going to spend eternity in hell. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ, don't leave here in that condition. Don't leave here not knowing him as your personal Savior. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't think all that stuff's going to happen like you said it's going to happen." It doesn't matter. You may get in your car and you never make it to your destination. Don't leave this world not knowing Jesus. "Preacher, I'm lost. I don't know Jesus Christ. I'm not saying I will get saved today, but I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you just pray for me? Would you just lift your hand and let me pray for you anywhere in the church? Preacher, I'm lost. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for all that you do. God, have your will and way in this invitation. God, the ones of us that have burdens, questions, God, help us to remember your mercy and your grace. And most of all, help us to remember home is just around the bend, and it's going to be worth it when we cross that river. God, have your will and way in Jesus' name. Amen." As you stand to your feet, as they sing this morning, if you need to come and pray and ask God for strength, ask God to help you to be ready to praise him at his final appearing, whatever you need, come and pray and ask God to help you.
never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while. Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert. To my knees, I need you, Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say. Sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert.
This morning, this week, no matter what happens, good, bad, ugly, sad, whatever it is, if you need a little help, just get to thinking about this. You're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. Just think about how much God loved you. And no matter what else is going on to you in this world, I promise you, you can find a way to lift Him up and to worship Him, even in the middle of hardness and hardships and trouble. God will help you through what you're going through. Thank you for being here with me this morning.